Okay, let's get started with Parshas Bo, Tavshin Pei Vav. Just casually note, the next couple of weeks I'm going to be traveling east-west, so there won't be a new Parsha Shir over the next couple of weeks. I'm not sure exactly which Parsha will be back, but I think at least three of them I'm not going to be able to up, but there are 17 years worth of online, so feel free to spend 17 hours listening. One shouldn't think, oh, no Parsha Shir this week, nothing to say. The 17 years worth, feel free and enjoy. Okay, so we start off Parshas Bo, Daber Na Ba'aznei Ha'am. Source number one, we have from the Torah Ladas, we have based on a Medrash. Based on a Medrash, we have the next three Parshias, as we know, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, and Maimed Har Sinai. And the Medrash says, based on the Pasuk, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, make sure you tell the people to take back from the Mitzrayim. Vayomar Shem Moshe Onege Echad Perak Yud Aleph Daber Na Bazne Am Vishalu Ishme Yisraeu Vishem Yishu Sa. Tell the people to take from their friends Klei Chesed V'Klei Zav Vayitan Hashem Aschina Am Beinim Mitzrayim. And they took. So Daber Na Bazne Ha'am, Rashi quotes and the Gemara and the source number one quotes it. What do you mean? Tell the people to take and make sure you have Kalim. One of the reasons there was Makas Choshech, so they couldn't say we don't have anything. Shalom Yomar. So Avram Avinu shouldn't say, oh, the first half of Reis Ben Abisarim was fulfilled. That Avadav Inu Osam, that they were subjugated. And after going out with great rechush, they wasn't Mekayim. So make sure that you tell them to take a lot of assets so that the second half of the Bris Hand of Asarim is also fulfilled. Ask the Tor Ladas here, the question that many ask. The only reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to keep his promise was that Avram would get upset. The Tamua. Even if Avram wouldn't say anything. Hashem had to keep his word. Oh, Avram Avinu's going to get upset. And if it wouldn't be Avram Avinu, he wouldn't have to keep his word. So he quotes from the Achronim, quotes here from the Minchas Tadshei, Tirates. Apima Dekai Malan, quotes two answers. Number one, he quotes Madekai Malan in Adam Esu Meshalem. First, he quotes Alamdis. We know there's a principle in the Gemara called Kimle Bidurabi Minei. You can never get two punishments for one sin. Right? If somebody violates Shabbos at the same time as he damages someone, he doesn't have to pay for the damages. Because you don't get two punishments. Ein adam esu meshalim. V'im kein. So one second. The Mitzrayim were all going to die in Kriyas Yamsuf. Going to take their money also. Ein adam esu meshalim. Can't get two punishments for one sin. V'im kein lo yuhayim Mitzrayim chayavim l'shalim. Kivan shehuku b'misa. Right? So therefore, it's not allowed. Not allowed to, it's against God's justice. Right? No, you can't have two punishments. Amnam. But we do say, Torah Ladas, there's another principle within Kimle Bidurabi Minei, and that is, Demisa Lazeh V'Tashlumin Lazeh, if the two punishments are connected to two different addresses, you're getting a punishment because you wronged A and you wronged B, then you're allowed to get two punishments. Because each punishment is connected to a different address, a different victim. Amrin and Shapir, Da'ad HaMesu Meshalim. V'im Kain, and therefore Nachon Ma'od, says the Torah Ladas. Da'a Misa, Ha'yu Chayav and Avar Yisosh and Yizuko Osam La'yar, U'miyachem Avinyan. Why were they Chayav Misa for what they did to Am Yisrael? V'rechush, the assets? Avram Avinu. V'rechush, Ha'yu Chayav and Bavar Avraham. Shalo Yomar Osot Tzadik. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu promised the great-great-grandfather that he owes him. So because it was Avram involved, that's the only reason that it was fulfilled. Okay, alumdus. And then he goes another sefer of the Oneg Nefesh, based on Halacha in Shulchan Aruch. And this relates to something that we did many years ago, which I gave you again in source number two. Apima Disa b'Shulchan Aruch. Sha'anishba lo seis matana l'chaveiro. If I swear to give you something, I swear to give you a matana. The chaveiro eino rotze l'kabel matana. But I swear to you, but you don't want it. You don't want the gift. Pater anishba mishvaso. If I swear I'm going to give you a present, and then you say, I don't want the present, I'm pater. It's not that I have to fulfill it. The whole point of a present is to give to you. If you don't want it, you could say, it's ki'ilu, I got it. But I'm pater from my shvua. V'hine darshu chazal v'yash ilum bal karchan shel Yisrael. The pasuk says v'yash ilum that the Jews didn't want to take. Shel aratzu lekabel. They don't want to take anything from the Egyptians. Why? We'll see in a second. But v'yash chazal darshin that it would bal karcha. Umemela patur hakadosh baruch hu miyavtachaso. So umemela Hashem was Hashem made a promise, but Bnei Yisrael didn't want to take it. So mitzad Hashem and the Jews, Hashem was patur from his shvuah. So why did he tell them to take it anyway? Because it was totally, Hashem really was potter from fulfilling. But Avram Avinu, you don't want Avram to be upset. Maybe Avram wouldn't accept that. But Esau don't want it? No. Okay, another halachi. Why wouldn't Bnei Yisrael want to have taken it? The Chazal say that Balkarcha, Hashem forced them? So you might just say it means, just let me out. I don't have to take anything, just let me out. That's all their focus was. So says the Zayim LaTorah, says Rav Sarutzkin in source number 2, says Rav Sarutzkin, we didn't understand this Chazal until after the Holocaust. We didn't understand this until thousands of years later. Says the Zayim LaTorah in source number 2, Bakasha Zulama, Ha'imah Yubnei Yisrael is Moas and Bekesav Azov. Were they Moes? Why they really didn't want silver and gold? Kadosh Baruch Hu, again, the same question. He shouldn't keep his promise. So he says, and again, we did this more than a decade ago. We saw this as Zayim LaTorah. This generation. Shabo alsa she'elas hashilumim mi Germania ha'arura ba'ad rechush Yisrael. Accepting German reparations. After the war, right? The murderers and what they did. So now the question was, right? What about the millions? They killed us, but what about the millions that the government should pay? Do you accept it? Is it blood money? So there were those that said, yeah, might as well get the millions of dollars at least that they stole from the family. And others said, no, what? They're gonna feel a little like kapara. They're going to feel a little atonement by giving it. I'm not taking a dime from them. Let them keep their money and let them rot by themselves. So this is what was going on, says the Zayim LaTorah, when Bnei Yisrael were told by Hashem, go take. Right, so was he paskening? It wasn't paskening. Every situation is different, but at least at that time. Because he knew that they wouldn't want to take. So Ksasam Omrim, Hem Rotzchenu, Yiyu Gam Yorshenu, right, to play on the lashon of Ratzachta v'gam Yarashta, Uksasam Toanim She'en Lam Yisrael Avo B'Shum Masu Matam Hashem Elu. Don't talk to them. V'Lama Yomer Bagoyim Shalakachnu Kofer L'Nafsho Zachenu. Right, we're gonna accept money for the atonement. Sheshavchu As Damim Kamayim Umizen Nikach Lahavin Is Rikshos Avosenu. So this was the feelings that were going through them. Yotzei Mitzrayim Shebevada Hayu Beneim Har Be'Avos Shamitzriim. Shekilu osam ibneihem. Shelo rasu lavo masumatan im ma'aneihem. V'shochte yaldeihem. I'm not talking to them. I'm not accepting anything. V'chashu asakasav azav sheyikabu me'yashim kidmei vlados. What you're paying for the dmei vlados, you're paying for the babies. Use the lashon from Mishpatim. V'yipa'azeh sheyikabu me'yashim shudar. Luma, some others say, okay. Hey, we worked for 210 years. And, whatever we could get. Okay, they'll die. God's Baruch Hu will deal with them. But at least we could get whatever we could get. That's why Hashem didn't want to force it. He said, Daber, no. Please. Your Alta Zeda, Avram Avinu will be upset. Do it for your grandfather. Do it for your grandfather. And that's exactly what the Torah L'Das says, suggests also, because really they didn't have to. Once they were mochel, they didn't want it. But that's where it comes from. Okay. Let's go back to the beginning of the Parsha. Back to the beginning of the Parsha, we have one word that's used. Hashem says to Moshe, Bo el Paro, go to Paro, right? In the past, go instead of come. I have made his heart heavy. Ulaman. Why? So that I will place my signs with him. Ulaman to saper ba'azni vincho ben bincha, and that you shall tell over to your children and grandchildren, Eis asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim. Right? That I was hisalalti. What does that mean? Right? That, what's the lashon of hisalalti? If you look at Unkelus, this is shtoi kodem brach ubar brach, yasnisin diavadis b'mitzrayim. So the Unkelus just says that I did. Asher hisalalti though is has a deeper meaning than just what I did. Asher asisi b'mitzrayim. Right? But what's hisalalti b'mitzrayim? So Rashi says, sichakti. That I played with Mitzrayim. Sichakti from the word mischak, kemo hisalaltbi, scoffing, kasher ata hisalel bahem ha'amur b'mitzrayim. So some type of game. As I played with Mitzrayim, what does that mean? So let's read Rabbi Lamb from 1974, just a number of years ago. Says Rabbi Lamb, does God play games? Does Hashem play games? Right, so there is, he doesn't quote it, but there is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that Hashem, every single, what does Hashem do all day? So there's a Gemara towards the beginning of Avodah Zarah, which says, well, a quarter, he splits it up into four. A quarter of the time, Hashem, learns Torah. A quarter of the time, he judges the world. A quarter of the time, he feeds the world. And a quarter of the time, he plays with the Leviathan. That's one Gemara. Okay, so he does play. What does that mean? Not for now. But says the Drash L'Doros here, does God play games? The question sounds anthropomorphic and primitive, but it isn't. Right? It says, Eis asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim. Right? So what exactly does that mean? Right? Rashi interprets hisalalti as sichakti, but played. God played games with Egypt. A more accurate translation, therefore, would be made sport of, made a mockery of. Right? A game that shows that the other person's losing. He plays games. But why does Hashem play games? The lashon of hisalalti. Not in order to entertain himself. You could whittle away time in order to ward off boredom, but you cannot whittle away eternity. Right? You can't just like kill time. Right? Time never ends. So what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? And he says, he quotes Einstein. He says, I do not mean it in the sense that Professor Einstein did when he made turning over. His statement, okay, I do not believe that God plays dice with the universe. Okay. So he says, the laughter of God is no laughing matter. It entails the most serious theological issues and demands spiritual insight. So what's the game? What game is Hashem playing? The game element enters as an emerging realization when a pattern of justice begins to crystallize into a coherent structure from within the chaos of practical events. Hashem's game is basically Schar va'onish, mida keneged mida, and he plays the game, and he always wins. What does wins mean? Not like Hashem feels good about winning, but that's how he set the rules. He set the rules that there's something called tit for tat, mida keneged mida, and though sometimes people think that they're winning, that only is temporary, and that's the game that HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays. He allows. Sometimes, right, the Russia Vitovlo. Let's read it again. Can read his whole words. He says, a game has rules. Bottom left. There is a goal. There's a sense of excitement and anticipation of the unexpected for both winner and loser. The winner is surprised when his sacrifice and hardship prove worthwhile, despite the initial setbacks and the disdain of his opponents, right? The winner is like, wow, look how good I am. The loser is shocked and dismayed upon learning that when you make up your own rules, if you cheat, you may temporarily gain, but in the end, after you thought victory was secure, you suffered defeat. So it was with Paro and the Hebrews and the Jews. Paro played his game. Played his game in its all diplomatic and social and economic aspects. He seemed to have won his game hands down. The Hebrew victims were cornered. Genocide was at hand. No sensible gambler would have accepted odds in a bet on Israel's survival. And I'll add for the past 2,000 years. That happens to be true. But Hashem had a different set of rules. The pharaohs moved deviously across the checkerboards of life, concentrating only on power and influence and shrewdness and wealth. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rules. It's called justice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's game is din, and emes, and tzedek. Israel seemed sure to lose, but in 10 swift moves, The 10 plagues, Paro was to be checkmated. Only Rabbi Lamp could come up with these lines. The game was moving towards a conclusion. The moral order was about to succeed over power politics and economic exploitation. And that's why, after the seventh Makkah, after Arbe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, right, Esa Shar Hisalalti B'Mitzrayim. I played around. I'm making a mockery of him because he thinks he's in charge. The essential element in this God game is the principle of Mida Keneged Mida, right? Punishment fits the crime, exactly commensurate. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be a little more mako if a person does tshuva. But this theme leads to irony, drama, poignancy, rational tension, symmetry, v'chulu. But that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's game. The game that we call life and hashgacha. The world under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eye says that's what it is. Turning the page, the whole Shmo story. Indeed, all of Jewish history reveals how God plays his game. And how that game is successfully superimposed on the unfair, unjust, exploitative, and manipulative games that men play and by which they convert their society into a jungle. We look at life and it looks like one game and it looks like one set of rules. But we see from this story, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really being ma'olel and letting those wicked and the Rishayim, you know, let them have their ado, let them think they're winning. Let them think that, you know, it's almost at the end and they have victory in their clasp, right? I mean, how many enemies of the Jewish people over the past 2,000 years have there been? There has not been a century that there wasn't an enemy that didn't think they had us in their grasp. So they play their game. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, beautiful Lashon, superimposes his game. And all his rules obviously are ones that last. Skip down a little bit, to the next page. Right, God may be playing games with you. Remember, things are not always as they seem to be. There's another scorecard up above, and you may be rated by other criteria than you one you think. Right, the knowledge is an antidote to despair. Recognize, right, this is what the Sefer Iyov is about, what many Svarim, certain Prakim and Tehillim are about. That David HaMelech always is able to see through the enemies and recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his game. We call it the game of life, but the game of life, if we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, always has a winner, and if we're on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's side, then things always turn out okay. Eis asher hisalalti b'Mitzrayim. Okay, let's continue Perek Yud Beis. Perek Yud Beis is Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach. He says at the end, by the way, I didn't say it, but source number 6, he goes to Rabbi Akiva at the end of Maseches Makos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes the rules of the game. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Akiva smiles, and, right, Nicham Tani, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu laughs, right, it's all, he ends off, Mensch tracht und God lacht, right, that, little bit of Yiddish he throws in. Okay. Says the Torah Yud Beis towards the end of the parak. So we have all the rules of Karban Pesach, the rules on Karban Pesach for that year specifically, and the Pasuk says, Vahayah, Ki amru alechem b'nechem, pasuk chavav. Ma avodah zos lachem. Later on, what is this avodah? Va'amartem. You shall say, Zevach Pesach ul Hashem. This is a Pesach for Hashem. Asher Pesach abadav v'nizom b'mitzrayim. Hashem passed over us in Egypt. B'nakpoes b'mitzrayim v'spetenu v'itzil. Karban Pesach is going to be something that we could tell over to our children. Pesach ul Hashem. If you look when Chizkiyo HaMelech in Divrei HaYamim does a Karban Pesach, we know when he did a major tshuva movement. And as the Meshech Chachma himself points out in Baal Oscha, Karban Pesach is often connected to anti-Avodah Zarah, even in our parsha. Mishchu ukechu, pull your hands away. One of the reasons that the Karban Pesach was from Aseh was because that was the god of the Egyptians, and even we were being of the Avodah Zarah. So says the Meshech Chachma, though, he's just wondering by one phrase. Chizkiyahu also did Karban Pesach. Vayishlach Chizkiyahu al kol Yisrael v'Yehuda v'gam igros chasav al Ephraim u'Manasseh lavo lebeis Hashem Yerushalayim lasos Pesach l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. In Divrei HaYamim, it doesn't just say Pesach l'Hashem like our pasuk says here in Shmos, but it says Pesach l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Why do you add on that phrase? And also double, also that later on, Pasukei Gamkin lasos Pesach l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael v'Yerushalayim. Vayikumu akohanim, Halavim, Ayavarchu Asa'am, V'chulu. Says the Meshech Chachma, B'shum makom lo nizkar rak Pesach l'Hashem. U'kamosh amru sof menachos b'taras kohanim. Why by the Pesach of Chizkiyahu HaMelech is there another two words, not just Hashem, Hashem Elokei Yisrael? Why is that added? That's his kasha. So we wouldn't know the question because we're not bakiyim in Divrei Hayamim. You got to learn Divrei Hayamim, know all of, have it all on our fingertips. Vahanira says the Meshech Chachma, who was the first person in history to bring a Karban Pesach? So we would say, what do you mean? But Yisrael, we left Mitzrayim. No. Somebody earlier. Vahanira come under the Parsh Bereshis Rabba, the Medrash that Rashi quotes in Parshas Vayetze. Elokei Yisrael toldos en Vayetze. The Medrash Rabba is in Vayetze. Kein hacha. B'Yakov siv. Remember, Rivka tells Yaakov, Avinu, go bring, before to get the brachas, Shnei Gedoye Izim, Rashi says there, from Pirkei Dobalazar, Echad lePesach ve'echad lChagiga. Pesach and Chagiga. Yaakov Avinu, he was the first one. Yaakov Avinu's Karban Pesach, he was the first. Yaakov came mitzvahs Pesach, he gave it to his father. V'yamru sham v'yavo le'imo, and the Medrash says that when he brought it to his mother, bochev akafav, he was crying. Because he was human, he recognizes this is how I'm getting the Bechora. I'm being a faker, I'm dressing up like my brother. I'm using the Karban Pesach b'ramo. I have to do it because you're telling me to do it. I'm b'nevuah, okay? But he was upset about it. Shahaya yede ramos. Sheyitzorach lomar anoch eitzah b'charecha. So Elokei Yisrael is connecting Chizkiyahu's Pesach with the first Pesach of Yaakov Avinu. And that Pesach of Yaakov Avinu had a little tinge of sin, a sin that had to be violated, again, in quotes, because Rivka told him, okay, we try, Anoche Eza Becharecha, but it was clouded a little bit. It was a Pesach that was clouded. It says the Meshech Chachma, the Pesach is connecting Chizkiyahu's Dafka to Yaakov Avinu's. Not a regular year, Pesach L'Hashem, that's what it says in the Torah. But why does it say Yisrael, which is Yaakov, Kain Kan? The Gemara tells us that Chizkiyahu HaMelech, when he brought the Karban Pesach, it was also tinged with a little controversy. The Gemara says, one of the things that Chizkiyahu did, there were things that he did and Chazal were very happy with, and things he did and Chazal weren't happy with. What does the Gemara say? Avu b'shay iksash shalo kedin, she'iber nisan b'nisan, v'lo ketaras ha'kodesh. Says he was ma'aber nisan b'nisan. What does that mean? It means, remember, it was the day that was already ra'ui to, it was the 30th day of Adar, which could have already been Nisan, but that's when he decided, you know what? We need another month of Adar. So you're not supposed to do it on the last day. The day that could even already be Rosh Chodesh Nisan, he was Ma'aber Nisan bin Nisan. That's what the Gemara says. And because he did it for whatever purposes that he thought Klai Yisrael need another month before they have Karban Pesach. U'kamoche Sham, Hiskam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodah, Hashem was maskim. But there too, it was a little negativity that was involved. So Chizkiyahu, Pesach, Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, he's connecting back to that one. And he realizes that sometimes Karban Pesach has to be brought, even if it's a little bit of stepping on a little toes. Kein kan, Hiskam HaKadosh Hashem Yisbarach al Yado, Ubircho HaKonim, and his Kabbal Tfilasim Ubrichasa. And then he adds, unusual for the Meshech Chachma to talk about his own life, reality. Kein anachnu le'es hazos. So too nowadays, here in Dvinsk, in the early 1900s, late 1800s, I don't remember what year. Im al yidei adcha ki tarnu kemach min ashuk. What could you do? Maybe they had to rely on pasakum, right? They had to get, or flour. V'chol zos nekabal abrachos al yidei zev and isbarach mevidish v'ashvayim. We do what we have to do the mitzvahs. We do what we have to do, and if there's a shas adchak, we'll take it and we'll get bracha through that. Just like Chizkiyahu got bracha, just like Yaakov Avinu got bracha, so too we'll get bracha. Says that. Wow. V'lachein omer ha-kohanim ha-shkifim om kachachem en ha-shamayim, shekan gavi birchas kohanim ksuv, v'tavo tfilasam l'maon kacho ha-shamayim. Okay. That's connecting Divrei Hayamim back to Sefer Bereishis. Okay, a couple of psukim later, we have Achatzi HaLaila, and Makas Bechoros happens, and nobody wants to wait. Paro throws them out. The Mitzrayim are ready to finally get us out, and they don't have time to bake their matzos. V'yavos habatzeka shiosim Mitzrayim ugos matzos kilo chametz. Moshe b'nei Yisrael, how long were they in Mitzrayim? 4:30, and we know, of course, that can be. Rashi does the math, right? 4:30, even if you don't overlap Amram and Moshe and Kahas and Amram and Moshe, it still doesn't equal 4:30. Kavachomer, they're all overlapping, so it means from the earlier days. Good. The pasuk ends off. Yatzu b'nei Yisrael, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Lel Shimurim Hu Lashem. It's a guarded night. That night is a garden night, was a garden night, and is a garden night. Lel Shimurim Hashem lehotziyam eretz Mitzrayim to take us out of Egypt. Hu alayla zeh Hashem shimurim lechol b'nei Yisrael l'darosam. It is shamur. It is a garden night, different minhagim that we have relating to the fact that it is Lel Shimurim. If you look in the Medrash and in the Zohar, beginning of source number 8, Lel Shimurim Hashem, that's what the pasuk says, mikan she'osa layla, Havi Nahir Lon Kemo B'Tkufas Tamus. What does that mean? The fact that it says Lel Shimurim Hu Lashem, it's a garden night for Hashem, that teaches us that it was like daytime. Kinahir, Kinar Lahon Kemo, like Tkufas Tamus, like Tamus has a very, the summer months have a very short night, so the whole night was like, was bright, was light. Right? We spoke about this in past years. Well, what does that mean? But the question that the Chanukah Satorah asks here in the Rebbe Reb Heschel, Rebbe of the Shach and the Taz, how do you get that from the Pasuk? The Pasuk just says, Lel Shimurim. Oh, you see from here that it was date, it was like night. It was, like, it was light, like daytime. Years ago, we mentioned, that there's a Rashi on this week's Parsha that says they got Bris Milah that night before Yom Kippur and Pesach. Rashi says that night. What do you mean? You can't do Bris Milah at night. By Yom. So it must be the night is like the day. Right? That's Lel Shimurim. But here, he gives a different shot. The Chagnuk of the Torah says, how do you get from this pasuk? Lel Shimurim, the Medrash says, the Zohar Mikan, from here, from this pasuk, where in this pasuk do you see hinted to that it's light? V'yishlefar shaman de'isa b'medrash. The pasuk says embracious. The pasuk says, v'yikra lokim la'or yom, v'lachoshach kara layla. So interesting. Hashem's name is only connected to Or in the Pasuk. It doesn't say Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom, Vayikra Elokim La'choshech Laila. Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom, V'la'choshech Kara Laila. Mipnei Maksiv Eitzel Yom Elokim V'gab Laila Ksiv Stamu La'choshech Kara Laila. Lo'ksiv Elokim. It doesn't say Elokim by Choshech, by Laila. It only says it by Yom. U'metare Tamedrish Delaila Hura V'dinim Shar Yebei. Night is din. Night is strict justice. Hashem doesn't like to connect his name to that. Hashem is a kind God. Hashem is a just God, but he likes to focus on chesed. Right? The Medrash says, Hashem, that's why he says, even me the Sadin. Vayikra Elokim Laor Yom. Even his din. So says the Rebbe Reb Heschel. Our pasuk, what does our pasuk say? Lel Shimurim Hu? Lashem. Shame Hashem connected to night? What do you mean Hashem connected to night? I thought he doesn't like to connect his name to night. Night is din. Eve especially is midas harachamim. Uvzei yuvan ha-medrush ha-niskale'el. Shitchal nubo. Dekanksiv Lel Shimurim Hu Lashem. V'kasha. Hei chashav shemosh ha-gadosh baruch hu. It's a layla. How does the pasuk connect Hashem's name to night? Mishem hachi. Mitaritza medrush. Do'os ha-layla. Ha-yisa nahorek mo'yimama. Ah! Lel Shimurim Hashem, it must be that it was daytime. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu connect his name. Kadosh Baruch Hu connect his name because it had the din of day. That's what we pointed out in the past that the Vilna Gaon notes that generally mitzvahs, all Maisa mitzvahs that we have, unless it's a Maisa mitzvah that has nothing to do with day or night, that it comes situational. I don't know, putting up a mezuzah. Mezuzah is day or night, right? Mezuzah is nothing to do. You have to have shmir every second of that you live in a house. You have to have a mezuzah. Kisui hadam. I don't know. Mitzvahs that, but if you have, mitzvahs that come up every so often during the year, lulav, shofar, right? Unless it's all around. Generally, there don't mitzvahs that are specifically nighttime things, Right? They're all daytime things. Lulav is by day. Sukkah is 24 hours because you have to live in the sukkah for 24/7. But what mitzvahs are there at night? Sfiras HaOmer is not a night thing. It's just we start at the beginning of the night to get the whole day tmimus considered. Well, a Seder is the only one. Pesach Matzah Maror is dafka dalakosos, dafka nighttime mitzvahs. Even Megillah. Megillah is Yom. Megillah Esther is it's a Durabanan, but it's Yom. And the night one is the secondary one. Some Achronim say it was even added on later, but the Dinim Darai, Mitzvahs Daraisa are day things. So says the Gra, how could you have at night time, Pesach Matzah Maror? Same answer. It's not night. Lo Shimurim Hu Lashem as a halacha of day. Halacha of day, that's Havinahir Lahon Kimo Bitkufas Tamus. Okay. Moving right along, we did the following thought in a Haggadah Shir, but I don't think we ever did it in a Parshas Bo Shir. So here we go, the Beis HaLevi. Beis HaLevi. So we know, towards the end of the Parsha, towards the end of the Parsha, we have two of the sections of Tefillin. Two of the four sections of Tefillin are from Shvi to the end. And there we have, in these Parshias and also in Dvarim, we have some of the questions of the Dalet Banim and the Mitzvah. Right? Why do we call it Magid? Why do we call it the Haggadah? Because of the pasuk in our parsha, Yud Gimel Ches, v'hi gadot labincha, you shall tell over to your sons, to your children, b'yamahu leimar, tell over, ba'avur zeh, as Hashem li b'tzeis Mitzrayim. Ba'avur zeh. So we know, if we look in the Haggadah, and then the pasuk says, v'shamar tzachu gazos mo'ada, you shall keep this law, miyamim yamima, every year. Every year. So Rashi points out that this is the answer to the Ben Arasha. Right, Ba'avur zeh. Right, what does he say? Ma'avod azos lachem, and we say Ba'avur zeh as Hashem li. Right, but ilu ha'ita sham lo ha'ita nigal. He was kofar be'ikir. He was motzi atzmo min haklal. Says the Beis HaLevi. What exactly is the conversation going on here between the Ben Arasha and the Ba'al Haggadah? V'hinei, line 11. Even though we're supposed to knock out his teeth, whatever that means, right? You should talk to him. What kind of question is? What exactly is the answer? We say Hashem redeemed us, right? What exactly is meant by the conversation? Turn the page. Turn the page. How exactly is the question and the answer? Does it fit each other? So he goes through back and forth. Why are we ma'ashim him if he doesn't know? So let's go to the next paragraph, line 26. Amnam yosir nira da parsha airi beben gadol umulumad. We're talking about an older child who's a smart guy. Hayodeil inyan tias b'tzrayim v'nisim shenasu us. The Russia knows what happened. He knows about Jewish history. He's not denying what happened. What's the Russia's problem, though? Ma'avod azos lachem. Rak libo nata letzad haminim va'apikarsim. Hamischakim va'omrim. Ta'amim la'mitzvos. There are those that give reasons for mitzvahs. That's fine, to give a reason for a mitzvah. V'acharei she'yamtziu eizetam she'eno shayach bizmanim elu. But if you can come up with a reason and then say that your reason doesn't apply in our day and age, then you can knock out the mitzvah. Yomru she'kvar nizbat la'hamitzvah v'chiyu v'chalila. Well, I think that the mitzvah's reason is this, and this reason doesn't apply anymore, so the mitzvah doesn't apply anymore. Ukmo kata reformim, he quotes, hamishubashim, bedaitam, right, that's the Beis HaLevi, 1800s. Hanosim zman la mitzvah, mitzvahs are limited in time, they're not shayach to our realities today. Mitzvah zu aysa shayachas az bozo zman, misiva shabodim alibam, they come up with their own svaras to say why the mitzvahs aren't relevant today. Lo bizman hazeh, orak bozo makom, bozo medina. Maybe not at this time. Maybe not at this place. Vehine. So now says the Beis HaLevi on the bottom. Mitzvahs Pesach lechore ein lekros achuka. What does the pasuk say? Two pesachim later, pasuk yud v'shamartes achuka azos. This is like a chok. Observe this chok. Is it a chok? All the mitzvahs of Pesach and matzah, they're chukim. They're like shatnez and basa b'chalav. Lekros ein lekros achuka. Rakish patam gili mafursam. We know exactly what the Karan Pesach is for. Kmavur biyalkut. Wazara kadosh bezeh heru lishol bitul avod zara shel mitzriyim. Karan Pesach, we took their God and we showed them your God is no God. They worshipped the sheep, and this was the sign of the month. Is the tle mishamachin nisavis ol shochto ulo yishbar bo etzem, right? No, remember the Chizkuni in this week's parsha that talks about every detail of Korban Pesach has to do with showing them that, you know, that their God, you have to roast it whole so they see it. You have to do barbecue. You have to roast it. You can't cook it. So the smell wafts to the neighbors. You have to do a ben arbayim when they're coming home from work. All the details. So says the, and the Medrash says, line 11, Oh my God, it's Baruch HaLemoshi, she'll do Pesach, and Nizbach 12, Asat Mitzrayim, Le'Neyem, aren't they gonna kill us? He says, you do it. So it makes a lot of sense, this mitzvah. So why is the Torah called it a chok? Shabbat is a chuka azos? So says the Rasha. The Rasha says on the bottom now, Raka Rasha, Bokim ischakim ba'omer, Moha avod azos, lachem. What is lachem? He's not excluding himself. He's saying, you, us, this generation. Ka'omer. T'gamani mode b'mitzvah zu. I understand this mitzvah. It's a great thing that God saved us. Raki yoysa na'osa b'zman ha'kodmim. Shayim nipsom ba'olam anashim schalim. Ma'amini b'yonei v'rezare. In the olden days, they used to worship sheep. Okay, so in the days you worship sheep, you have to show that sheep aren't gods. Nowadays, who passed down to a sheep? Who's going to think the sheep is powerful? In the olden days, Korban Pesach was important because you got to show, who's boss. We all believe in Hashem. The Avodah Zarah is not around anymore. That type. Right? Nobody's going to worship sheep in most 99% of the places today. So the whole point of Korban Pesach is done. You don't need Korban Pesach anti-Avodah Zarah anymore. And that's what he says. You gotta change things up. Right? This is not Avodah. That's a Purim. Avodah Zos Lachem. So what do we answer? No. Ba'avrzeh Asa Hashem Li B'tzeisi Mimitzrayim. What does that mean? We flip everything on its head. We say it's not a chok. What we say? We do Korban Pesach because of what happened in Mitzrayim. Says the Beis Halevi, and this is the theme that he comes back to over and over again. He says this in Parshas Miketz also, because it was time for Yosef to come out. Parah had a dream. It wasn't that Parah had a dream, and therefore Yosef was able to come out. No, it was time for Yosef to come out, so Hashem worked backwards. So, Valdvar Avelu, same kind of idea. Ba'atahaki at Shinov. We say, Ba'avrezeh, Asa Hashem Li B'mitzeis Mitzrayim. What does that mean? It's true what you're saying. The Pesach Shasi Soma Mitzrayim Bishas Maisa. At that moment, it was a hurrah for the Bitl Avodah Zarah. Mikomakom od chidesh laharasha chidesh drum shal yodamem. But we tell him something else though. The gamba mitzvah shanu yodamem tam. Even a mitzvah that we know the reason, like matzah. Shlo hitzpik b'tzeika malavaseinu. We couldn't get out fast enough. Achein maror. Shmal lezecher maror chay mitzrim chayeyem. U Pesach. All those, ain't ze ikur yisoda shal mitzvah. V'lo mitam zen is chashem. The mitzvah isn't purely because Hashem didn't give the mitzvah because of a reason. That's why Hashem gave us the mitzvah. V'tam einu rak b'shvil ze mutal aleinu achov l'kayim l'maso zu v'lo niyek v'yitova. Okay, we have to think about that as part of it, but that's added. Aval ikur yisoda line 44 shal mitzvah lama kachya mitzvah. The Torah was before the world. The mitzvahs preceded the worlds. Yaakov Avinu, we said before. But Yaakov Avinu ate matzah. Why is he eating Korban Pesach for? Did he think about, oh, you see us Mitzrayim? Didn't happen yet. Avram Avinu kiyem kol Torah kula. Kubalel tesa ben Isan. Och al Avram Matzah umar. Avagav daya kodem golas Mitzrayim. Yal karchach. Here it is. Mitzvahs elo lo nitzmechu mi geulas mitzrayim raku lehefech. De mischus mitzvahs pesach matzah umara sheyesh b'layla zos nitzmecha geulas mitzrayim b'layla zeh. Because there's a mitzvah, pesach and matzah tonight, that was what created the schus for the event to happen. It wasn't that there was an event which then said, okay, you have to remember the event. It was the mitzvah that then helped create the event. And that's what we say to the Rasha, Ba'avor Zeh, because of these mitzvos, Asa Hashem Li, B'tzeis Mitzrayim. That's exactly why Yetzias Mitzrayim happened. It wasn't that, you know, Yetzias Mitzrayim happened, and therefore, We remember it that way. V'zeo demeshav ha-rasha al chakirosav. That's how we answer the Rasha with his questions. V'gat levincha baver zeh. Lo amar lo baver sheyatzasi Mitzrayim ani oseh ha-mitzvah. Rak lehefech. The opposite, baver mitzvahs elu nischadesh lanu yitzias Mitzrayim. Because of these mitzvahs, that's why yitzias Mitzrayim happened. V'zeo bechlal b'chol tamei ha-mitzvahs. All tamei mitzvahs have to be understood in that way. It's not pure because of what we... Again, the tam is, like we'd like to say, like many say, tam is from the word taste. It makes them tasty to us, tamim. But that's not the reason for the mitzvah itself, and that's the hemshech of the psukim, right? The psukim say, baver zeh, and what does he say? V'shamarta esachuka hazos l'mo'ada. It's a chok. I mean, don't say it's just based on the reason. In this case, according to this, all mitzvahs are chukim. Right, even though we call them chukim and mishpatim, but in a certain sense, all mitzvahs are chukim. We have to recognize the uniqueness of each of the mitzvahs. Right, he says at the bottom, if you get a mitzvah ba'atzma hi chuka v'kayim la'olam miyamim yamim below hefsek gam k'shi yischadesh eizaz man shlo yeshayach ha'tamim anodan. Okay, next. So we have towards the end of the parasha also pidyon haben. Pidyon haben, one of the three mitzvahs that relate to firstborns. Pidyon haben, pidyon peter chamor is also here, and pidyon b'chor behema tahora. Right, all of those mitzvahs. We have ani zoveach l'Hashem kol peter rechem azacharim v'chol b'chor banai evdeh. Right, you have the pitzvahs, and beforehand we have petach hamar. You have all three of the b'chor mitzvahs. So this is svarno. You know, the hegyoni halacha, the ma'agali hashana volume, not the three on the moadim. If you look at the ma'agali hashana volumes, he discusses the alshich and the svarno. We usually think about it, that why do we have all of these mitzvahs like Pidyon HaBen? Because Hashem saved. Because Hashem saved the firstborns, therefore they are sanctified. We Hashem, kind of like the Bechorim owe Hashem one. And because they owe Hashem, so that's why they're sanctified and they have that special status. But if you look in the Svarno, I'm going to give it to you because the Hagin Halacha just quotes it, Beferish quotes the Svarno. I don't think I gave it to you. He didn't quote the Svarno. So he quotes, right, Rashi says on the words, look at Rashi, on the words, Lihu, so he quotes, La'atzmi kinisim al yidei sheikesi b'chor Mitzrayim. I acquired them by smiting the Egyptians. Klomer ha'b'chorim kedoshim li, says the Hagin Halacha of Mirsky, al yidei sheikesi b'chor Mitzrayim. But how do they become kadosh? Says the Alshech, and the Svarno also says it. It's the opposite. Hashem needed and wanted to protect them from the Makas Bechoros, so he sanctified them beforehand to be able to give them a protective shield. Shalorak etzem ha'atzala hikdishtam. It wasn't that the salvation caused the sanctification. It was the sanctification brought about the salvation. Right, the firstborn Jews were also maybe roi to get hit. Right, the whole power of Bechor was hit, and therefore it would apply to the Jews also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did he do? He was makdish them. See that he quotes the Svarno on line 14. Mashit srachti osam lepidyon hayatam b'shul shabiyom hakosi. Hikdashtim li, shalis asku b'avodas hedyo klal. I sanctified them in order to save them. Kamosha asayde b'giz v'avod b'chor behema v'ze asisi kedei lahatzilam b'toras hektish. They belong to the base of Migdash. They had protection. Shaloha yeruyim li natzal minigay mishlachas malachei raim. So in that way, they were able to be protected. So it's not, again, we usually think about it in a flipped way, right? The salvation brought about the sanctification. But he says the opposite, the sanctification is what brought about the salvation. So again, maybe the message for us is that the more we sanctify ourselves, the more salvation will be roi to. The more hektish we make ourselves, the more salvation will hopefully shine its light upon us. Okay. The Rambam, the last source I gave you is just in general about these parshias, but I don't think we ever saw it in this version. We saw it in the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. But the whole parsha, as we know a number of times, it talks about Hashem hardening Paro's heart. Hardening Paro's heart. Different understandings of that in the Mefarshim. I gave you here the Rambam in Shmona Prakim, in the eighth perek of Shmona Prakim, where he talks about Bechira Chavshus. And obviously he knows how does Chizuk Leif Paro fit into the Bechira Chavshis Yesod. How does it fit into this, the Yesod? So, the Rambam points out, as others point out too, the first five Makkos, it does not say that Hashem hardened his heart. First five Makkos, even during the Makkos, right? For 200, for years and decades and decades, he was a Rasha Gomor. And even after the first five Makkos, he still had Bechira Chavshis fully, and Hashem didn't do anything. Once that, even after five Makkos, the denial of God, even after five Makkos, and the rejection of Hashem's request, so now Hashem has to punish him. Part of that punishment is to show him and to show the world that I'm in charge of everything. I'm in charge of your power. I'm in charge of your servants. I'm even in charge of your Bechira. That was part of his onesh. Not that, oh, everybody always have Bechira Chavshis. Oh, you could reach a level, says the Rambam, that part of your onesh, you have to be shown that you're wrong by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So look what he says towards the bottom. Sometimes there's punishments in the body. And sometimes through these punishments, like you have the goof, you're up in a vat, and you know his hand dried up. And then he says, we can't tell why somebody gets this Yisurin and somebody gets that Yisurin. That's not up to us. That's not up to us. But on the back page, he says, so why did he ask over and over again once he's kept parting his heart? Right? Why he was asked. So maybe Paro in his mind was thinking to himself, I really should be letting them free now. Why am I being such a action? But that was what, part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing to him. I'm in charge of everything. To teach them and us, Hashem Yisbarach yivatel b'chiraso kishayirtze levatzla. Hashem could even do that in our minds. What really makes sense for us to do? That's only in extreme cases. How many times does that happen in life? Just a couple of times. Somebody reached certain levels of rishus that there are yechidei skula. There's a special place in Gehenim for the yechidei skula that have reached this. The Rambam says Sichon and Paro are the two biblical figures. Who knows? Maybe Nebuchadnezzar gets an invite, right? Sancherev. Maybe Sancherev did Shuvah at the end, maybe. So, but that, a little bit. But that is the Rambam here in Pirshei Mishnayos, that part of removing his Bechira was to teach him that I can be in control. So it probably was that he recognized that he should let them free and was not letting them free. And he felt like his hands were handcuffed because he felt maybe if he wanted to, it was not meant to be. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches him, and this is Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the message of the Makkos. Remember, Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah every single day and night of our life. Okay, we'll have to stop here. B'Hashem, and again, be back in a couple of weeks. Again, Bo, or this is Bo, B'Shalach Yisro Mishpatim. It could be Truma, if not Tetzave. Right, one of those, but there's a lot of Torah up, and B'Hashem, any of the communities I'll be in, B'Hashem, hope to share Torah in person. Okay, we'll stop here.